If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. This is the ZABEcast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Monday, March 25, 2024. Thank you for downloading and hope your brackets are not too busted. Okay, sorry. That was very cliche. They may be kind of busted, but man, the favorites made a hell of a rally on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not going to give you final scores because I don't have them all. I'm recording this at just before 7 p.m. on a Sunday night. And as you know, many of the games are backloaded deep into the night on Sunday. This didn't always used to be the case. They used to wrap up games the first Sunday of the tournament closer to 60 minutes time. And honestly, I don't mind the later games. I'm looking forward to going and watching them. But it makes it harder for me to give you up-to-date results, scores, and analysis. But we do have the original Coach K, Coach Chris Konacki, from the DC Coaches Basketball Podcast on. I've got 16 questions for him in 16 minutes about the tournament so far. Let's talk Ohtani, shall we? This story just broke last Thursday when we sat down, Scott and I and Solly in Scott's basement, and I left my freaking wallet on his counter and merrily drove all the way across state lines to a doctor's appointment in Virginia, then back home. And I'm like, God darn it, where? I know I had my, and Scott texted the exchange, or he tweeted my text exchange with him, in which I said, Did I leave my wallet there? I know I had it at 7-Eleven. And he just thought it was too funny. So when we talked on Thursday, the Shohei Ohtani gambling story had just broken. We don't know more, but there is more stuff out there floating around. And today, as you listen to this podcast, Monday, Ohtani is going to be made available to talk to the press and I guess answer questions, although maybe he'll just read a statement. If I were him, I would not answer questions, but I would make a statement. Now there's stuff coming out about the interpreter that is interesting because they're like, yeah, he said he went to Cal State Long Beach and UC Riverside. That's what it was. And there's no record of him having done that. Also, there's a word that he apparently had done stuff for the Red Sox. And they're like, no, that's not the case. And as somebody tweeted, we're only one story away at this point from him reportedly not knowing any Japanese whatsoever. But there's a couple things to this that I keep hearing over and over again, which I want to address. How and why would an illegal bookmaker let a guy, even though he's making a nice salary, between $200,000 and $500,000 a year, as Ohtani's longtime interpreter and quasi-best friend, former Angels first baseman Jared Walsh told ESPN, quote, they've transcended friendship into brotherhood. Truly, it sounds dumb, but it's true. If Ohtani had no knowledge of the wagering, and if Ohtani had nothing to do with it, and it's true that the second story is the right story, that he stole the money to wire it to the bookmaker, then you have to ask, well, how could an illegal bookie let a guy like Ohtani's interpreter get in so deep to the tune of $4.5 million? Why would he extend so much credit? He must know, the bookmaker, that this guy can't pay it on his own. So why? Well, the answer is simple. That's where they want him. They want guys in deep. They want them chasing. They want them doubling up. Because even if you get a guy, let's say, in the hole for 10 mil, and you know he doesn't have it, you cut it to 5 mil, he scrapes it together somehow, sells a house, borrows from family members, whatever. Getting that 5 mil, getting the half of the 10, then you would, if you would cut him off at a million, that's better if you're the illegal bookie, right? And this happens all the time. It's what happened to Barkley at MGM Grand. They gave him a line of credit. They let him get in deep. He kept losing, kept chasing, got out of hand. Barkley figured, well, they're not going to actually make me pay this. I'm Charles Barkley. And so MGM Grand was like, hey, knock, knock, Charles, got my money? And he didn't have the money. He just kind of blew him off. And they're like, we're going to go public with this. And so they did. But in addition to that technique, there is also the uncomfortable and unsavory aspect of, well, if you're a bookie involved in the gambling world, wouldn't you love to have the interpreter for a major star giving you information about who's really hurt, who's going to pitch, what the manager likes to do? Ding. So of course he let him get in way over his head. Now that's if it was the interpreter making the bets. I'm going to believe that it was Ohtani making the bets until the day that Ipe Mizuhara is actually sentenced to prison for stealing $4.5 million. Until that day, I'm just going to assume it was Ohtani. How can you do that? Well, he was the one that sent the money, allegedly, or Mizuhara stole the money and then sent it through using one of his accounts somehow. I don't know. But until there's charges pressed and there is actually a conviction, I ain't going to believe none of it. But also when it comes to guys getting busted out, as they say, this was a classic episode of The Sopranos when Davey Scatino, Tony's buddy from high school who owned a sporting goods store, got in too deep. And Tony ends up busting him out by making him order all kinds of stuff on credit using his business account, knowing he was going to default on the payments, but they were going to take all the stuff anyway, including airline tickets, and then just, you know, milk him for whatever cash they got. Here was the scene. I've abbreviated it to about a minute and 45 seconds.
Davey, how are we doing with that books of airline tickets?
Want to raise a red flag with the travel agency? A sporting goods store charges airline tickets in bulk?
You say it's a promotional device. You know, customer of the year, salesman of the month, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
Don't worry about it. You put it on different lines of credit.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but all of a sudden I'm ordering all this weird shit. I mean, picnic coolers, Ramlosa water. When's one of these vendors going to realize I'm never going to pay them and call the cops?
When your fucking credit runs out, Diamond Jim. Until then, get on the fucking horn and order. Unless you're ready to pay us the principal you owe us.
It's starting. It's fucking starting.
Get back in your office, David.
I'm opening my mail, and it's a lawsuit. It's a fucking lien on the building. They're going to close me down.
Davey, not fucking now, okay?
They're going to know after this that it's fraud. How am I going to jail for this?
Get the fuck back in your fucking hole. Now!
He told me not to get in the game. Why'd you let me do it?
Well, I knew you had this business here, Davey. It's my nature. Frog and the scorpion, you know? Now, besides, if you would have won, I'd be the one crying the blues. Right?
If you would have won.
What's the end?
The end? It's planned bankruptcy. Hey, you're not the first guy to get busted out. This is how a guy like me makes a living. This is my bread and butter. When this is over, you're free to go. You can go anywhere you want. Oh, for Christ's sake.
We'll see what the Ohtani story is today and if it advances the story or not. But until that, you know, interpreter is actually being charged and they've got a real trial and he's going to jail, I'm just going to assume it's Ohtani. Baseball did say Friday in a Friday afternoon news dump, okay, fine, we'll investigate. Okay, fine. We're going to investigate. They made that face. They made that voice. Of course, that was not the only gambling news that emerged over the weekend. How about this? On ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports that once would steer so far clear of gambling that they wouldn't even have point spreads mentioned on their NFL pregame shows except for one tiny show 2.5 hours before kickoff on Sundays in which Hammer and Hank Goldberg, may he Super Sky Point rest in peace, would give out a few of his picks and you would see a point spread on ESPN. Now, of course, they are tied in with their own association with Penn Gaming, with ESPN Bet, and their personalities are heavily promoting betting. And you've got this gal, Erin Dolan, who may be a hard worker, may be pretty sharp, but let's not kid ourselves. She's on TV because she is young and she is hot. And Rhys Davis, normally a sensible, has his head screwed on right guy, just got carried away in the moment. Take a listen.
Many different ways you could play a game. You could look at the spread, you could look at player props, the total, but we're going to get, again, a little spicy here. This is going to be a sweat. I wish I could give you a ton of research of why this is going to hit under, but when we look at UConn, they like to slow down the tempo. The same thing goes for Northwestern. If they want to stay in this game, they're going to have to slow down UConn's offense. And we like to go off what we just saw. So for Northwestern, for example, they just put up 77 points on Florida Atlantic.
Error, but you have to
remember,
recency.
19 of those points, they came in overtime. So I expect this to be a slow game all around. Good defense.
Remember,
on both sides
it was
of the ball.
Overtime.
And so if you look at a team total, although it seems low at 60.5, I'm going to go under there.
You know what? Some would call this wagering, gambling. I think the way you sold this. No, I think what it is risk-free investment. That's the way to look at it.
positive way.
Aaron Dolan from ESPN.
It wasn't long before Davis had to put out this tweet. During a segment this morning on College Game Day, due to ESPN bet picks hitting yesterday, he had to get that in there. Like, yeah, we had a good day. I joked the advice was more like risk-free investing. As we all know, such a thing does not exist. Obviously, there are risks. Though I'm not a gambler, I strongly encourage those who do. He didn't punctuate or, I think, finish the sentence there. But, yeah, there you go. Okay. This is where we're at. Jeff Perlman tweets, not being sarcastic, but I think ESPN is this close to offering lines on the Little League World Series this summer. You know, Timmy Smith's favorite player is Aaron Judge. His favorite food is spaghetti, and he's being listed as 4-1 to single in his third at bat today. And let's go out to Williamsport. I'm not a prude, you know. We have a great relationship with MyBookie.com, and if you do wager responsibly, that's where you should go. But you would think ESPN, of all outlets, would be a little bit more smart about it. But I guess not. Quick break here when we come back on the Zabecast. The original Coach K talking some hoops. I got 16 questions in 16 minutes for the Sweet 16. You are listening to the Zabecast.
Hey, man.
Sorry I'm taking you away from this game. We'll go quick. Joining us now, the original Coach K, Chris Nocke of the DC Coaches Basketball Podcast, University of Maryland color radio analyst for men's hoops, and inventor of the phrase, the dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. God, I love that phrase. So good. It's a great life lesson, you know, for everything.
It applies to so many situations, right?
It sure does. All right, yeah. 16 questions in 16 minutes for the Sweet 16, which is not yet set because we're taping this at 5:30, and I'm taking you away from the JMU-Duke game, and I apologize sincerely. But I've got to go to bed at a decent hour tonight, so we got to get this in. Here we go. Question number one, the Coach Cal conundrum. I know you are Coach Calipari positive. I've talked to you about him through the years. But if you were UK's board with $33 million in hand for his buyout, would you pull the plug?
I mean, the question becomes, can you get somebody better? And I don't – I mean, you know, I think he's got to learn some lessons. Cal does. You're never too old to learn. And but I think you keep him. I think that I think the juice is definitely worth that squeeze. And I don't know, you know, there's still a lot of dough to come up with.
They say that the money is not the hardest part of it. Maybe the hardest part is getting somebody better. And with Dusty May going to Michigan, he might have been the number one guy out there available, right?
Well, you know what? It's funny. Because one of the subplots of this whole NCAA tournament, you watching this thing, Dusty May got that Michigan job last year, obviously, right? With that phenomenal run to the Final Four.
Right.
You watch guys like Danny Sprinkle at Utah State, who just, you know, came from out of nowhere. There's some West Coast jobs open. I mean, these are audition opportunities for some of these guys, right?
Right.
And they make the most of Mark Byington, of course, playing their JMU is playing right now. I cannot imagine he'll be in Harrisonburg next year, but you never know.
Okay. Well, you say Coach Cal needs to maybe, you know, take some lessons from this. Can he change his stripes? Can he rely on an older team? I know that Jay Wright on TV said that that's the way it's going to have to be in this nil era.
Yeah, it has to be that way. You got to go get some transfers to make your team older. He's still going to be able to recruit the best of the best because it's Kentucky, you know, best of the best young guys because it's Kentucky and got that building and that tradition. I don't worry about John Calipari. I think he's going to be fine. It has certainly been a tough last 4 or 5 years, but that guy likes to win as much as anybody, and I think he sees exactly what it's going to take to do that.
All right, number two, 16 in 16 minutes. Did you see or hear the guy on Twitter who went off on all the fuck-ups Kentucky had guarding Gulke or not guarding him, but actually was kind of educational along the way? He's kind of gone viral. Have you seen this guy?
I did see it.
Okay, yeah, this is here. For those that haven't heard it, here he
is. Arms extended so he can't curl. This is basic. there again. Curl, open three, upset. Nope. Not how you guard underneath your man, jamming him, battling for position. You're guarding from over the top. So now when they again run this same player off a down screen, you're not able to chase off of his hip right here. I should be locked onto his hip and trailing over the top. And again, get attached with your arms extended so he can't curl. That doesn't happen. Everything's wrong. How is John Calipari allowed to coach?
He goes on and on about this. So I actually liked it because I was kind of learning some things.
Yeah.
Was he mostly right in his criticism?
Oh, I think he's definitely right. But see, here's the deal. Golkey is such an anomaly, Zabe. You don't ever play against guys like that. And your attention span, whoever you are, wanes a little bit from possession to possession.
Right.
And all he needed, to me, that was the most, still to this recording time, that was the most compelling part of this NCAA tournament. That game, that stretch where that kid, that accountant, is draining shots on a bunch of future millionaires. And it's hard. I totally get it. And you could teach those techniques till the cows come home. But until you see a guy pulling it off like Golkey was able to do it, it's another thing entirely to cover it.
Yeah. Number three, Purdue hangs 106 today on Utah State. How would you say Zach Edey is officiated?
I think he's the hardest guy in America to officiate. I'll tell you this, Zabe. I'm a big Purdue guy. I have them winning this in all my pools. And I think that people were very quick to discount them after the last couple of years. So Zach Edey, two things. You do not appreciate the size of this guy until you actually see him in person.
Painter says he's grown a couple inches in the last 6 months, which I find crazy.
Well, the other part of it is people completely disrespect the growth of his game. 2 years ago, just a couple of years ago, he was splitting time with a guy who's working for the post office now. I mean, and now he's worked on his conditioning, his footwork is so much better than it's ever been. He's skilled. He's really skilled for a guy that big. And I think he's just a hard guy to ref. I think he gets away with some, and he also gets victimized. I think there's some big guy bias that a lot of officials have.
Yeah. All right, 16-16, number four. Is JMU a flash in the portal pan, or are they here to stay as a mid-major power?
As long as they keep Mark Byington, they're here to stay. He's that good a coach. Everybody knew they were going to be good this year. Now, I don't know that anybody knew that they'd win 32, but as long as Byington is there, I think they'll be fine.
Okay. Number five, was the SEC's 1-4 start due to Greg Sankey's hashtag karma for the comments about giving away berths to these mid majors?
Absolutely it was. And we've talked about this, Zabe. You and I have been doing work together for, God, 25 years or something like that, 20-plus years for sure. And basketball karma, sports karma is real, and he deserves everything he got. I mean, what an egomaniacal thing to say, and he's getting completely butchered for it, and appropriately so.
Yeah,
yes, well, sir.
But there are a couple teams left from the league that are starting to redeem the SEC, at least at the top. We'll get to Tennessee in a second. Number six, explain the DJ Burns phenomena for NC State, and where has a guy that big been hiding all year?
NC State was completely off my radar. Completely off my radar. And then they did what they did at Cap One Arena. And by the way, I'm sure you saw the stat, Zabe, that NC State won more games at the ACC tournament than the Wizards have won in the last year there. That's brilliant. He's a truck. He's an absolute dump truck of a player. He's got a real good feel for it. And, man, you talk about guys having fun playing right now, playing with house money. They're playing awfully well. I don't think they can beat Marquette, but they'll make it entertaining for sure.
They've won seven straight elimination games now.
Yeah.
God bless. That might be a record. You win six in a row to cut down the nets. So I guess if you won your, there's probably been a team that's won their conference tournament and then they've won the whole thing. So they've probably won 10 straight elimination games.
I mean, look at the coach goes from, you know, putting a for sale sign in his yard to have an automatic rollover in about a 10-day period.
That's crazy. Okay, number seven. Dalton Kanek for Tennessee is a really interesting player. I'm wondering, does he have a comp as a springy, kind of muscled white guy who can shoot the lights out of it? My only thought was Thunder Dan Marley. Do you have a guy that comps to him? That's what you thought too?
Exactly. You know who else? You know who else? He doesn't look like him. But, you know, watching Wally Szczerbiak was a very good, you know, very good college player and a 20-point-a-game guy in the NBA, you know, and he was more of a two guard. I think Kanek is more of a three like Thunder Dan was.
Right.
But I like the Thunder Dan comp very much for him. Rugged, strong as could be. I don't know how that guy, I mean, he transferred in from Northern Colorado.
Right.
Is that where he, yeah. I mean, he must have been just a nightmare in that league.
I know. And now he's tearing up the SEC.
Player of the year in the SEC. Yep.
But he's only projected as like 18th overall in the NBA. So as a pure shooting guard, maybe the NBA doesn't need your shooting guards to per se be a two-way player to go inside and dunk on people when needed.
Well,
it's nice when you can.
He'll find a home for himself somewhere, whether it's in the NBA or not. He's going to be getting paid.
Yeah. All right. Number eight. How in the hell did Yale win a game? Yale.
Best coach in America that nobody knows about. That guy. He could, Zabe, he's had opportunity after opportunity to leave Jones.
Okay.
And he is, for anybody that pays even a little bit of attention to that league and to what he's done in that league, this is not a shock. And we were, you know, in the coach's podcast, we talked about this. We've had both him and Pearl as guests on the pod, and both of them highly entertaining in completely different ways. And we said as much when that draw, that's the kind of really disciplined team where they've got a 7-footer who can play, and they got guards who were fearless, and that was a nightmare matchup for Auburn. That's just a really good team and a great coach.
James Jones, the winningest coach in Yale history. He's been there since 99, so a quarter of a century.
And you're right, multiple times.
Yeah. Well, his title, according to Yale's website, is the Joel E. Smilo, 1954 head coach of men's basketball. I don't even know what that means, but I'm sure to a Yale man, he would understand it.
Well, Smilo probably left us and left millions to the athletic department.
He's like, you know? I'm leaving you $10 million, but you got to put my name on the coaching title. Okay,
exactly.
Done. Yeah. All right, number nine, Samford's furious rally, down 22 against Kansas, snuffed out by a bad call, reaction call on a block shot from behind. Would you, Naki, be in favor of replay on those kind of plays?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we're going down
the replay rabbit hole,
then I think you ought to be able to leave. And maybe the issue, Zabe, is that you have what the NBA guys do, where you have a coach's challenge in a situation like that, where you basically throw the flag
right. And
say, let's review it. But that, to me, I mean, it's a shame that the best sporting event on the calendar, you know, I mean, obviously it's up there with the Masters and the Super Bowl and stuff like that. To have it tarnished in something that's preventable, that you can deal with, is disappointing.
You couldn't put the whole egg back together, though, because it would have been a live ball. Samford thought they had numbers. So at best you could do is give them an out-of-bounds possession, which is better than nothing, right?
Yeah. It's a nice consolation prize.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, number 10. Is it me or are Kenny and Charles really struggling this year to say things of relevance about college basketball?
You know, I was wondering if you were going to go down this. So I listened to all these guys. I listened to the guys doing the games, listened to those guys. And the studio guys actually drive me crazy. I'm entertained by Barkley, so I'll watch that, even though I know that his grasp of the college game is kind of limited.
Loose, right.
Yeah. But one of the things I can't stand is Clark Kellogg finishing everybody's sentences for them.
Boy.
You know, I he's a smart guy. This is his time to shine college basketball, but he does not need to be, you know, this isn't grade school. You don't need to be, and you're not married to these guys. You don't need to be finishing right. your sentences. But I also like, listen.
Who do you really like? Who do you really like in studio?
You know, some of the guys on CBS Sports Network do a nice job. I think Cerbiak does a pretty decent job. Yeah. You know, he knows the college game.
I think Wright's good.
Jay Wright's very good. They don't use him enough, but that might be Jay Wright's choice as sure. much as anything sure. else, right? So, but the guys doing the games have been interesting to me. Not a Brendan Haywood fan at all for me.
No.
But I'm a big fan. I think Van Gundy does a good job. Van Gundy and Dan Bonner together with the great Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
Now they've had great games too. They had the Colorado game against Florida, 102-100. You don't get many games like that ever, yeah. you know. So you can even bad announcers can't screw that one up.
And then you got Eagle Raftery and Grand Hill, and that's a great booth right there.
Yeah, and Eagle's so good.
Right. Number 11. What would you have said in private to the AD at Long Beach State, who bragged about firing Dan Monson as a way to spark a fire under his team's ass?
Yeah, so I saw this, and this is absolutely embarrassing. Since I've lost a job and I'm on my way out, are we taping this for a podcast or for air?
you would have blasted the guy, right? Because Monson took the high road when he was asked. He goes, "Well, you know what? He said what he said."
Yeah, and
what a clown!
So disappointing. Yeah, that is clown central right there, and I think that it had to disappoint anybody associated with the program that somebody would say something like that. That's just BS. Yeah.
ADs are like a dozen found golf balls being sold by a kid in an egg carton on the side of the fairway. There are a couple of Pearl Pro V1s in that dozen. And then there's a lot of mangy ones in there as well. There's definitely some gym teachers who have climbed the ladder through nobody's understanding of how.
To use one of the well-worn Zabe lines that I've co-opted for all my life, they're making another 500 million of those in Taiwan today.
Oh, right. That's right. I know. 12. I know we're not giving Gonzaga nearly enough love with another Sweet 16. They've got a streak of how many games or how many years now? Sweet 16?
Yeah, 9, I think, or something like that.
9.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So let's give them that praise now. They're not just the little boutique major that's tucked away in this tiny conference up northwest. When they get to stakes time, they win. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And the 32-4 run that they put on Kansas, you know, wow. And I don't think this Kansas team was really limited, no depth. They had one of their best players out, McCullers, you know, so they were down at least a, you know, probably their most, if not their 1A guy, their 1B guy. And so the 32-4 run was such a lightning strike, Zabe. I was impressed with how quickly Gonzaga scored in both halves. And I don't know who it was in the studio who said it, but at halftime they said, I think it was Barkley actually, with maybe one of his more astute comments. He said, I'm a big Bill Self fan, and I thought that they would do just fine in the first half, but the second half would really concern me if I'm Bill Self played at this pace. And that's what happened. It's impressive. And they got it there. They play Purdue now coming up, right?
Oh, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's a big game, and it's in Detroit. Should be fun, man.
All right, number 13. Would you rather have an NBA lottery pick on your team if you're a coach in the tournament, or a capital G great point guard who knows how to run your offense?
Guys, easy call. Second one. Yeah.
Point guard.
The guy with his finger on the pulse. I mean, you can't tell me that this kid, Kolek, you know, from Marquette, is going to – I mean, to me –
He'll play in the NBA. He'll be good, but he's not like a lottery pick, I don't think. But, man, maybe. Is he a great point guard.
And he makes Marquette so much better. And they really benefited also. When he went out, it forced them to give guys playing time that they wouldn't ordinarily have given time to.
Mm-hmm.
And they've reaped some dividends from that. And that team's a little bit deeper than they were. And he looks healthy and just, you know, really running the show.
All right, number 14, what's the best thing the NCAA has done with this event in the last 20 years? I'll go first. Pod system. by allowing teams to be closer to where their fan bases are, even though it doesn't look perfect on that first bracket, has been the greatest thing ever for this event.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. And I think they've done a really good job with it. I'm going to go to the TV side of things, Zabe. I just love the fact that on Thursday and Friday, when 90% of America is calling in sick, right?
Right.
That you have games. It's a bonanza of games. And there's no unwatchable game. You can find it on True TV. You have to put up with those commercials on True TV. You know, the coming attractions for some of their shows. And I don't know how long they've been doing it quite like this, but I mean, it's just so brilliant and so well done. And the games too, I think, are feathered time wise so that you can, you know, you can watch the end, the last 5 minutes of every game, and then get right back to the one if you were kind of zeroed in on another game.
And they're all free, which is great. You used to have to pay DirecTV for the Mega March Madness package. There was that one year that you guys and Georgetown met in the Sweet 16, and we missed the first almost 10 minutes because of blackout rules. Killed me.
Well, also, Zabe, now the Big Ten, okay, and I hate to digress because I know we're on like 13 or 14, but the Big Ten has that deal with Peacock. And so Purdue was on Peacock 8 times this year. Now, as a radio guy, it means big numbers for us. When our games are on Peacock, I know more people are listening,
right?
Because people don't want to go through the you know, the downloading it and then streaming it. So yeah, so it's a thing.
Well, sure. Wisconsin was on a lot too, and whenever there was a Peacock game, I would say, "Oh, you're getting cocked tonight, just so you know." Peacock, what did you think? God, calm down, everybody.
Exactly.
Number 15, what's the one thing the NCAA still has to clean up about this event? I would love to see them make the courts more visually identifiable and don't just buy them all in the exact same look and feel. Put a logo on there for the city, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's kind of their MO.
I know.
I don't know, you know, is it the NCAA? I guess it's the NCAA who's making decisions like that here. You know, they've been so neutered. It's hard to figure out what they run and what they don't run.
So what one thing could the powers that be, whoever that is, still clean up about the event?
You know, I always think that there could be a little bit more, you know, you talked about the play at the end of the game. I think that you need to legislate the game so that the officials can take advantage of technology, you know, and I know you and I have argued about this for years. You're not a replay guy.
No.
I get it. But if you're going to use replay, use replay.
All right, last one, your revamped Final Four. Now that we've seen 3.5 days of the tournament, do you even need to revamp your Final Four?
No, still alive.
Yeah,
still alive. And I do. I had Purdue and UConn meeting in the final. I'm going to stick to it. I think Arizona gets there, and we'll have a really nice game in the Final Four against UConn. UConn and Arizona will have a great game. But I think also teams like Iowa State that kind of rigged the system a little bit this year in terms of the way they elevated their net in KenPom. I think that they're going to go by the wayside. Also, one last thing, Zabe, one of the things I'm watching are how all the offensive teams are going to get through. They're teams that score a lot of points, i.e. Creighton. Can Creighton win a 60-58 game if it comes down to it? I know they can win a 100-90 game because they won a bunch of them this year.
Right.
You know, can they do that? And I'm not sure that the answer is yes, but damn, they're entertaining.
All right. I still have my Final Four intact, even though, of course, like everyone, your brackets are completely jacked up. I have my dumbest Final Four pick about to tip off here shortly, Clemson. I picked Clemson to go to the Final Four because I said that's the dumbest team to ever pick to go to the Final Four since they've only been to the Elite Eight once. They are so not about basketball, but they got a good team.
Well, if you were looking for the dumbest pick, Zabe, congratulations on that.
You guys. I know. I said they're a 6 seed, and last year, 2 dumb 6 seeds made the Final Four. I went looking for the dumbest 6 seed, and I'm like, Clemson, get in there. What, us?
Yeah,
all right, 35-17, Duke is handling James Madison right now. So there's your update as we finish up taping this. As always, Coach K, the original, Chris Nockey of the D.C. Coaches Basketball Podcast. Thank you, buddy, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Zay, appreciate it.
We'll end on this. No commissioner is perfect, and I tend to run hot and cold on most major commissioners when it comes to how they handle their leagues, with exception being, of course, under his desk, Goodell, who is just a worthless silver spoon, jammed up his ass, landed on third base and thought he hit a triple. Dipstick. That said, I do like Adam Silver. I don't like what the NBA has become on many levels, but I like him because he has an ability for brutal candor that I think many corporate types, CEOs, and or commissioners don't have. Here was the commissioner on the show King Charles. That would be the Gail King and Charles Barkley show on CNN, saying that the league will have to consider a Team USA versus Team World format for next year's All-Star Game. He is not convinced, though, that any format change will actually result in the All-Stars playing real basketball. Silver said that, quote, our feeling going into Indiana was that for this year's All-Star Game, it was we had one more opportunity to go in essence, go back to basketball. Silver called Larry Bird the honorary captain for the weekend. At the annual Legends brunch, Bird urged the players to compete. There was an emphasis on making the game itself more closely resemble a normal NBA game. No more pregame draft, no more Elam ending, less elaborate pregame introductions, a shorter halftime show, and a return to the simple East versus West format. None of this works, writes CBS Sports. The final score was 211 to 186. It was a great weekend, said Silver, but it wasn't a basketball game. And I had not seen what happened this year. I think we were ready to do a U.S. versus international. I'm just wondering now, and it's a good conversation to have, whether this generation of players and the teams are complicit because nobody wants them to play hard at the All-Star game. Nobody wants them to get hurt. They see it as a mid-season break. I think of something that was a huge attraction, for example, Sabrina Ionescu against Steph Curry in the three-point contest. I mean, it says so much about the game. I think of, again, our generation, Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes. This was the opposite. This was, as Sabrina said, just two great shooters out on the floor. So I think maybe as opposed to trying to create a super competitive basketball game, which I'm not sure the teams or the players really want at the moment, we should do more fun events. Yeah, well, you know what we used to consider fun as fans? The best going against the best and actually trying. You know, that's what was fun to us, the fans. But apparently, the fans are taken for granted. The fans are assumed as a given. And this is about catering to the whims and the fears and the paranoia of NBA players who don't want to get hurt. Oh my God, I might get hurt in this game. Well, you might get hurt in the next game against the Raptors on a Tuesday. Life's a risk, for God's sakes. We're not asking you to do something you're not used to doing. You're not being told, go rock climb without a rope and a harness. Just play basketball. You play in the summer. These NBA guys, many of them, they get runs in the summer because they're junkies and they want to stay in shape. You think they're worried about that? Talk about chance of getting hurt. A lot more chance getting hurt when there's a stray chucker out there on the court who's going to low bridge you or hack you. But look, if it ain't broke, if the celebrities are coming hand over fist, Learjet after Learjet, if the corporations are shelling out for the starry three-point challenge and the Sprite, wait a minute, that'd be too late. Now, the starry three-point challenge, the All-State Slam, I don't even know what the sponsors are. Kia, I think, is in there. If the money's flowing, who cares? The only real sizzle that would be left, and I don't think America would be prepared to handle it, is white guys versus black guys, which I believe somebody, some athlete suggested recently. And everyone was like, ooh. But I don't know if that would be good for the country, at least for some people. Be interesting, but yeah. All right, that's enough for me today. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Tomorrow, another Cracker Jack Zabecast. They keep coming. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 per week. Come rain or shine, usually unless I'm on vacation. Fridays are sitting behind that precious, exorbitant $5 a month. A month paywall. But if you would like to support this podcast, then I would say thank you very much. And you can subscribe by going to zabe.com/premium. And I do appreciate it. Plus, I'm going to try to put the best podcast behind that Friday paywall. This week, Scott's on vacation, but we're going to have Solly and Andy together, and we're going to do it live in person. So should be a good one then. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.